Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today. It is an absolutely beautiful day here. I'm actually having to film this a week early. I've got a doctor's appointment next week when I would normally film this, and I don't want our time together to be missed. So I'm actually filming this a week early. It's actually the second day of the new year. I hope that you had a wonderful time celebrating the birth of our Lord. I hope that you had a very happy New Year's celebration, that you're looking forward to a great 2024. But again, it's good just to be here together today to meet with our Lord. And I pray that these times are as much a blessing for you as they are for me. I look forward to these times. Just being in God's Word is always a source of encouragement and strength and guidance. And I hope that you experience that as well, and that our times together help you grow in our walk and in your relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. Without them, these times would not happen. So I'm very much appreciative for all that they do. But again, we're here to meet with our Lord. And obviously, more than anyone, we want to thank Him. We want to turn our hearts toward Him. We want to seek Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this beautiful day that You've given to us. And oh God, thank You for the opportunity to know You. Lord, that You want us, oh God, to know You, to grow, have a relationship with You, to grow in that relationship. Father, we just thank You, oh God, that a God such as You would want individuals, people, as weak and sinful and frail and small as we are. Oh God, You're an awesome God of wonder, love, and grace. And Father, we love You and we adore You. Open our minds and our hearts. Help us to get a further grasp of who You are. Lord, You're calling upon our lives, what it means to walk with You, to experience You. Speak to us in Your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be together in God's Word as we once more come to the book of Psalms. And I've always enjoyed the book of Psalms. I think most believers do, because in this book we see a tremendous amount of theology, very deep theology, but it's always applied in a very, what we'd call a practical sense, if you will, real life settings and situations, all that wonderful theology, but you see it in shoe leather. And you see what it means to walk with the Lord, to know Him, to experience Him. And it guides us in our prayer life. And let's be honest, many times we may face a time or a situation in our life, and someone may even have asked you this question bluntly before. Does it really do any good to pray? Does it really influence the situation any at all? Does God even hear or answer our prayers? Is God even interested in our prayers? What real good does it do to pray? And as we open God's Word, we come to one of my favorite Psalms. It's Psalm 18, and it answers that question. Psalm 18 is a relatively long Psalm. It, in fact, as we look at this Psalm, we see that it has, I think, around 50 verses, exactly 50 verses. So it's a relatively long Psalm. And yet it is a psalm where we see so much about what it means to walk with the Lord, to trust Him, to experience Him. And there's so many different aspects that you can look at in this psalm. You could make this one psalm a series, if you will. But as I looked at this psalm for this time of our series, of our time of being together, as I looked at it, to me it answered that question, does it really do any good to pray? And as we look at this psalm, we look at Psalm 18, we find out that the resounding answer is yes, it does, because we see the importance of prayer, the reality of prayer, David's experience in prayer, how it does, in fact, make a difference. And so look with me at David's experience, and we'll be looking at all the psalm, probably only about half the verses, in fact, but this is an important aspect, lesson that we need to learn. As we look at this psalm, just to set the context, we need to look at David's need. That is the need that David was expressing. Now, this psalm was actually written after the fact, if you will. It was written after David had gone through a very, very difficult time. And so he actually describes that or sets the stage for us. When we look at the superscription of the psalm, again, that's that inspired writing above the psalm, not necessarily what the editors of your particular study Bible wrote, and what they wrote is probably pretty good. But I'm talking about the inspired writing above the psalm. You think about this, the superscription. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Again, David's looking back on that time when he was being hunted and pursued by Saul. You'll recall, or if you take the time to read in God's word, that the situation, God had made Saul the first king of Israel. However, because of Saul's disobedience unto the Lord, and a disobedience that came out of a lack of trust, lack of faith, God, in fact, told him that he was going to replace him as king, and God anointed David as king, and David would be the next king over Israel. Saul knew this. Saul became jealous of David. Saul wanted to kill David, actually tried to kill him more than once. As a result of that, David had to flee. David had to run away and go into what we would call the wilderness in order to hide. David's whole life at that point was almost like being a fugitive, if you will. And so David is looking back at this time. In fact, as we read, as we drop in this psalm down to look at verses 4 through the very first part of verse 6, as David describes his experience there, the cords of death encompassed me. And the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol, that is the grave, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. You see the situation David was in. He was literally being hunted like an animal. And many times, David was in fact betrayed by his fellow countrymen. If you go back, you look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, the people of Keilah, they in fact... David had delivered them from the Philistines, and yet they were willing to give him over. The Ziphites in 1 Samuel 26 alerted Saul that David was hiding in their midst. David had never wronged any of these individuals. Many times David had acted as their protector, and yet they were fully willing to give him over. So it's bad enough that David is on the run, but most of his countrymen are fully willing to turn him over to Saul. And so just imagine being in that situation. David desperately needed God. And as you would expect him to do in a situation like that, he prayed. But then we come back to that question. Did it make any difference? Did praying really accomplish anything? Did God listen to David's prayer? Did God answer David's prayer? Did God do anything as a result of David's prayer? Well, look what we see as we look at this psalm. As we look at number 2, God's answer. And I want us to look at that, several parts of that, because this has always amazed me and stood out with me, and I think it would really speak to us in our lives. And if you're going through a difficult time right now, difficult period, and you've prayed and nothing has seemed to have happened yet, or you've prayed about it, and frankly, it seems like the situation's gotten worse and it's going through your mind, is it worth it to pray? Is it accomplishing anything? Look at the passion in which God answered David's prayer. Look with me at the latter part of verse 6, going on through verse 8. And what we see is the fact that God is deeply interested in the prayer of his people, deeply interested, deeply concerned about the circumstances, the situations that his people find themselves in. Look at the latter part of verse 6, going on through verse 8. And cried to my God for help, as we read a moment ago. He listened to God's passion here. The Lord heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help came before him into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Do you see the passion? Do you see that God was personally involved? Do you see that God was personally interested in what was taking place? I mean, just the word pictures that are there. God deeply cares about what we're going through. God is deeply interested. If it bothers us, it bothers him, if we can use that kind of terminology. Now, certainly, you know, as we think about what bothers us, troubles us, worries us, many times, you know, one of the things that God wants to do is to change our perspective, grow us, mature us, deepen us, strengthen us, build our faith, all of those things. And all that will be a sermon series in and of itself. But I want you to see that God was deeply concerned about what David was going through. He was passionate about his care and concern and love for David and what he's going through. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, casting all of your anxiety upon him. You think about that. Everything that causes you to be worried or anxious or tense or upset, casting all of your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Child of God, the Father deeply loves you, and he's concerned about everything that concerns you. And again, I'm not denying the fact that all of us need to grow and mature, and God uses situations to stretch our faith, deepen us. I'm not taking away from that. But God deeply cares about what we're going through. And if you're not a believer, God's love for you has been forever shown in the giving of his Son to live, die, and rise again for your sins, to make you one of his children where you can experience this deep love that he has for us. But God is passionately concerned about his people. We see God's answer. It is, in fact, an impassioned answer. So we not only see the passion, but notice as well the power that we see here, the power that God is willing to use. Look at verse 9 going on through verse 15. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstorms and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of the water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. You think about that. What do you see God doing? Here you see the Almighty God using as much of his power as is necessary to solve the problem. It never takes all of his power. In fact, it's quite frankly, and I'm not belittling anything that anyone may be going through, but it doesn't take God a whole lot of his power to solve our problems. That's not to diminish your problems. That's for us simply to have an understanding of the power of God. Now, yes, many times he deliberately waits. He works in such a way to strengthen our faith, grow. I'm not denying that. But God uses his power to answer our prayers. In fact, when you think about the problems that we have, and for at least the third time, I'm not diminishing anything that anyone is in fact going through. And you may be going through a very difficult time now. I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm merely trying to get our focus on the power of God. God being able to handle our problems. That's almost like wondering if a railroad locomotive can pull a child's toy wagon. Of course it can. And quite frankly, the difference, the railroad locomotive pulling the child's toy wagon, is a minuscule little illustration of the unlimited power of God. You know, the railroad locomotive, it has a limited amount of power. God does not. We see God's passionate response, his powerful response. However much power is needed is how much power God will in fact apply. There's no situation or problem that exceeds his power. We see his powerful answer. But we also see the perfection. Look with me at verses 16 through 19. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. You think what David's saying there? You know, God's answer was perfect. God's answer for our prayers is always perfect. Now, we might not understand it on our end, and we might not understand it until we're with him in eternity, but we can rest assured. When we think about the attributes of God, his characteristics, that is, who God is and his character and his being, one of those attributes is his absolute perfection. God is perfect in what he does, how he does it, why he does it, the timing of he does it, the way he goes about it. God's answers are perfect. And no, we don't always understand them, quite frankly. Many times they're not what we wanted when we began praying. But if we let God have his way, we will see that his answers are in fact perfect. And so again, you know, going back to the question, does God answer our prayer? Does praying really change anything? Or does, you know, is there really any use in praying? Oh yes, God answers the prayers of his children. He is passionate about what his children are going through. He will, in fact, pour out his power into dealing with that situation, whatever it is. And whatever he does will, in fact, be perfect. You think about it. Through prayer, we experience God's passionate, powerful, perfect answer. What an incredible, wonderful God we have. But, you know, as we continue looking at this psalm, we then see David's response. And I want us to look at that as a way for us to learn from David's experience. Because again, you think what David was going through. Remember the superscription. Remember the verses that were described there, what it felt like emotionally. David was being pursued like an animal, betrayed many times by his own countrymen, had nowhere to turn, hiding out in what we'd call the wilderness, and went on and on and on and on from his perspective. Quite frankly, on a human level, a miserable time. But look at David's response as he saw how God was passionate and how God poured out his power and how God was perfect in what he did. Think about what we read in verse 1 through verse 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. You think what David is saying? David is saying, oh yes, God does answer prayer. Prayer is in fact vital. Yes, it is certainly worth your time and effort to pray. You think what David is saying, I have seen God work and move, answer my prayer. I can testify he cares about his children. He works on their behalf. Now, I want you to think about that, especially not just obviously in terms of understanding the passage and David's walk with the Lord, but also for where you are. I was going to say this afternoon because that's when I'm filming it, but at whatever point in time you're watching this, I want you to think about this in terms of where you are this moment. Because again, you may be going through a very, very difficult time, and I hope, again, I've not tried to diminish that or belittle that in any way. You think about David. He cried out to God, and God passionately responded. God powerfully responded. God perfectly responded. What an awesome God we have. And so if you are an individual who's going through some very difficult time, look at David's example. Cry out to him. Seek him. Rest upon him. And let God show you his love, his power, and his perfection. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And, oh, Lord God, we praise you for being the God that you are. Oh, Lord, thank you that you care about everything that concerns us. Father, thank you, O God, that you use your unlimited power to work in our life. And Father, thank you that you're perfect in all that you do, and we can trust your perfection even when we don't understand it, even when it's different than what we had hoped you would have done. Father, may we trust you. Be with us, Father, for those especially who are going through a very difficult time right now. Lord, let David's experience and his words that you inspired him to write speak to their heart, build their faith, and guide them in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it has been good to be together in God's Word, and I hope as you leave this time of our being together, that you'll in fact take these truths, that you'll live by them, that you'll know God's peace and love and nearness. And I hope that you have an absolutely great day in Him, trusting Him, knowing His love, His power, His perfection. Have a great day.